Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Welcome everyone to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast. Today's topic is every something becomes nothing. So what does that mean? Well, we're going to jump right in and work our way through that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's not too complex of a meaning, right? Every something becomes nothing. And how does that relate to the narcissist or the neo-narcissist? It kind of goes back to love bombing. So in the love bombing stage, when they see that you're good supply, of course, you become that new shiny object. So, and they will do everything in their power to lock down that supply. And so you carry high value to them. Now, of course, over time, you know, they devalue you, and everybody knows this who's faced a narcissist. They devalue you and then they discard you. So that's where it kind of moves from the something to nothing experience. And ironically, you will see this in other parts of their life too, right? They get this new shiny car or this new fancy bag or this new outfit, right? And it's all the rage. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few months or a year later, they need a new car. So in entrepreneurial circles, they talk about it as the shiny object syndrome. So when the next idea or the next thing comes up, people abandon the investment that they poured in to something to try to jump into the next good sounding idea. And they never do a true investment. They're constantly jumping from one thing to the next. So this is very characteristic of the narcissist, is that they kind of have their own form of shiny object syndrome. So you're the great supply, you're the shiny new toy, mm-hmm. until of course somebody else comes along that looks a little bit more shiny than you, or they haven't devalued it to the point where they've devalued you. Mm-hmm. And you'll see this. You'll see this in little cycles in their life, and you'll see this in like relational cycles.
This is where like the comparison piece comes into play too. Right? If somebody, if the narcissist is seeing the neighbor next door or the person over there having something that they desire, they want, or seems to be of higher status or value, or interactions with people that also fall under that category, then they want to level up in that way as well.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's where it touches on that one level of criteria of, like you're talking about, the envy.
Yeah.
So again, that whole kind of saying grass is greener on the other side, that's what this is all about, right? That grass is really good. Need to jump the fence, get to that grass. They get to that grass, they eat that grass. Again, and I think we touched on it on a previous episode as well, when they're in that pasture, eventually the old pasture starts to look more green. Mm-hmm. Right, or they're looking to other pastures. So they're always trying to keep connected to these shiny objects, these shiny new somethings. But the somethings fade very quickly in their mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do they lack the capacity to actually retain the value of something?
Yes, that's a great way
to say it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting like, you know, you drive a car off the lot and they say you've already lost money as soon as that car is off the lot. And I just get this image that it, you know, something may come in, or a person or a thing worth, you know, $100, let's say, but over time they can't retain it as staying at $100. Mm-hmm. So it slowly becomes less and less and less like internal value to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's temporary.
Yeah.
Fickle.
Yeah, and does anything ever become worth more?
No. No.
Because as you develop a relationship over time, it can actually increase in perceived value.
But this is also where a narcissist may want to hoover and come back into somebody's life, is if they see that person all of a sudden having more value in some area.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're doing better, or, oh, they've got a new person in their life and they seem better than, you know, I feel threatened by them. So they might want to come back in that, or, yeah, more status, more power, more stuff.
So they do that in terms of like how they value relationships or items, but then also could interactions also be something and then become nothing?
Interactions.
And... so say you have an argument or a conversation and for you, it's a really big deal.
Mm.
And then the next day they pretend like it didn't happen.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. So not only of the valuable things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like something that was a mountain last night and like was the biggest thing in the world to them that they needed to blow up.
Yeah.
Mountain molehill.
Yeah.
And then the next morning they act like it was nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happened.
That's a good point. So that's that's another version of something to nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So then how does one manage these something to nothing when you're in relationship with a narcissist?
Okay, that's a good question. Before we go there,
yeah,
you mentioned something. It made it sound like in healthy relationship, the value of the relationship, the value of that something actually increases with time.
Yeah.
Almost like an antique item.
Yeah.
That has, you know, this historical value to it and this invested, I would say in relationship, like an invested value.
Mm-hmm.
So that increases, but you're right, with a narcissist, it's complete opposite from what it is with a healthy person.
Oh, that's interesting. It's almost as if the relationship with that person, you get in the brand new car with that person and you drive off the lot. And as that relationship progresses, it becomes less and less in its value. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like you're saying, a fine antique or a piece of gold that's going to increase in value over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the achievement for the narcissist is getting the thing.
Yeah.
So whether that's a relationship or an actual item, the achievement is the getting of it. So the using of it or the, well, the keeping it.
Well, I think the using of it doesn't have to really say it.
Yeah, you're still using the car until the car breaks down and isn't appealing anymore and you just want to
just boring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the excitement is in the getting of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The maintaining and the keeping and the...
Yeah, because the maintaining and the keeping takes work.
Mm-hmm.
Like actual, real, sometimes struggle.
Yeah. Well, reality.
Yes. Reality. Right? Because real relationship, the thing that makes healthy relationship rich is that you do the work to push through.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the other side, and it actually galvanizes the relationship in such a way that it actually strengthens it and really kind of increases the positive experience of what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so your question.
Yeah. So when you're in relationship with a narcissist and you're experiencing this something becomes nothing over time, how does one navigate that in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, it becomes challenging because if you're the new car and you're that relationship, there's also a fantasy around the excitement of being that new something. So you're driving around in this fantasy, not really realizing your worth is being depreciated as you're going along.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm.
Right, because initially in the love bomb, such high value is being reflected back to you. So it's easy to get pulled into that.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're talking about over time, and you're saying, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with them viewing you as depreciating?
Yeah.
You getting, moving from shiny to dull.
And treating you as if you are of less value.
Mm-hmm.
Like actually seeing the devaluing play out
mm-hmm.
in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Painful.
Mm-hmm. So, and then what most people get caught up in doing is trying to get themselves back to that level, trying to prove themselves back to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So again, to answer the question, I would think it would go back to the whole idea you know, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. When you realize that you're depreciating in value, now, when you realize that, you can stop fighting to prove your value.
Mm-hmm.
You just recognize in and of yourself, I mean, this is the ideal, your inherent worth as a human, right? Moving to that kind of self-love idea of things. And whether they see that or not, that's on them, as long as you're showing up in the fullness of who you are.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to point to too, is it's not personal. So when you're in relationship with it, it feels so personal. Like, mm-hmm. Well, I must have done something wrong. What happened to the interaction and what was happening? So yeah, it's not personal to the person who's on the other side,
mm-hmm.
but it feels like a very personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can remind yourself that it's actually their experience that they're devaluing you or seeing you as less valuable,
mm-hmm.
it's actually in no way a reflection of whether you are or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think would be supportive for listeners as well. But that is a them issue.
Oh, and how does it go? I heard someone say that. That sounds like an issue, not an ish me.
Yeah.
An issue, not an ish me. Well, and two, what ends up happening is when you get into the relationship and the love bond is there and you are that shiny object to the narcissist, that's where they see the value. Now, if you're the shiny object and they perceive you to be outshining them in the way that you can do relationship, in the way that you can love, in the way that you can carry confidence and all of those things, they will start to beat that down very intentionally. And I know in my experience, I felt like I needed to change who I was to accommodate the insecurities of. And so then I felt myself almost dulling myself down, in the sense that, because in relationship it's really important for me to express and show love, but it's, I would run into like a almost a resistance towards that, or almost even an anger towards that expression. And, you know, I think there's numerous reasons why you can run into that. So then, you know, I should have just kept expressing love as openly as, you know, I naturally do that, rather than start to draw it back for the sake of the comfort of what I perceive the comfort to be. Because I ended up changing. I ended up dulling myself down, right? And there's many areas that will do this. We'll end up accommodating and dulling ourselves down, you know, if we are confident human, which is what draws them to us a lot of times in the first place, or empathetic or all of that type of stuff. Yeah, you feel you have to almost tune it down.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I think, answers more of your question.
Yeah.
I would say don't tune it down. Now, of course, that's going to create more friction and discord within relationship. But if you just being yourself, if you being your richest self within the relationship, if you're bringing your best self to the relationship and the other person and they can't handle it, that's confirmation of exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's not a small ask, because you know from that relationship that you're only going to likely create more issue, problem, distance, and there's not going to be any feeding back into you. So it's a big ask to stay in that and to just forge ahead anyway. But I also think it will, the likelihood of the relationship being successful is zero anyway.
Yes.
So
yes.
This just expedites the natural outcome of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you don't lose as much of yourself within that, in that process, and there is high value in that.
Mm.
And like you're saying, there is always an inevitable end with a narcissist, because you will become nothing
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get this image of you'll end up being one of the used cars in the narcissist relationship lot.
Well, it's funny because they still want to keep that car in the lot.
Yeah.
Because let's go with that analogy a little bit further. So let's say the narcissist goes into the showroom and there's this really fancy, expensive car sitting there. And it's perfectly clean. It's brand new to them. The pot lights and everything of the showroom highlight this vehicle perfectly. So they're like, oh, I need that. So they take it out, they buy it, they take it out. And most narcissists will bury themselves in debt. Of course, that's just a regular thing. And they'll most likely destroy you financially along the way too. But so anyway, they're rolling down the road in this and they're feeling great. They're feeling great about themselves. This is that mood-based love type idea. Like, here's something from the outside that gives them a sense of significance and importance, and people are noticing them and maybe even praising them for this new vehicle. Well, they drive it for a while, and believe it or not, even this fancy new car gets dirty. So, but they look at the car and they're like, ugh. It looks dull. Well, all you have to do is clean it. And it'll look as shiny and new as good. Yeah, but that takes work. Mm-hmm. And that takes effort. And, you know, they see another car in the showroom.
Easier.
Mm-hmm. So let's just maybe trade this one in for that one. And then, of course, what does the dealership do when they get that car back? They detail it up, shine it up, put in the effort, and there it is.
Yeah.
It's in the showroom again, looking shiny and new. Well, the new car that they traded it for has now been on the road for a while, and it's got some grit and grime. And look, that car gets dull too. Like, I couldn't imagine being that person. And I know that's kind of an extreme example, but that's pretty much what they do with people.
Yeah, I think that this car analogy is really good because it does highlight the ease of that dismissiveness and that devaluing. And I think people can see how that applies in their lives in every other way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The house isn't good enough, the whatever. Oh, heaven forbid people come over and have the best of, you know, the best plates, the best whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what the narcissist does. If you're content in life, well, you're boring. Mm-hmm. Really? You're gonna settle for that? Right? Yeah, but what's wrong with setting up a life that's a sustainable life? And they'll look at that and they'll judge you for setting up a decent life for yourself. Peaceful, stable,
consistent.
Yeah, like we can go on and on and on. And this is the nice thing about healthy relationship. You can set up peaceful and stable and consistent and everything like that, and then you get to choose if you want to bring in some form of variety. Like, maybe you save up for a special trip, maybe there is a car you like, but you know, you save up, do the work, get the vehicle, and take care of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Right? And appreciate it. I mean, some people hold on to their vehicles to the point where they are antiques, and then the value, of course, of what they've poured into this vehicle kind of reflects that back.
This goes back to what you were referring to earlier about, like, the not losing yourself within it, not having to turn down the volume of who you are within the relationship. And, you know, when you were talking about, yeah, if you feel confident, they will attack it with, like, well, you're arrogant. If you're too, quote unquote, loving to them, oh, what are you maybe hiding, or what are you trying to prove? Like, everything's under suspicion or so dramatically turned and accusations committed, which is just more of an attack to try to get you to keep turning the volume down.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can prove the devaluation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Turn that volume up.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least keep it consistent. But yeah, they will. They'll start kicking and screaming about it. And then, yeah, you start to accommodate and you lose yourself in the process.
I got this other, I'm going back to the car, apparently that's relevant to me, is if you know, okay, so you are the car in the relationship with the narcissist, the shiny new car, but you're still looking after yourself and you're cleaning yourself, like you're walking,
yes.
going for car washes, like you're still maintaining the person you are, like maintaining the luster of you, but what becomes confusing is that you are still maintaining who you are, but the narcissist internally is devaluing you. So even though you are maintaining who you are and looking, they're not seeing it that way. So there's also that like fantasy illusion that's in the way of how they're perceiving and seeing you. So they can internally devalue you, even though that actually may not be the truth.
Yeah. So, okay, let's keep going with this fantasy idea. I'm going to change it a little bit. Because you're right, as soon as they see the shiny vehicle, they have their idea of what life with that will look like, what life with that will be like. Not realizing it's like any other vehicle that, you know, gets road grime on it with use and it's not, you know, perfect. It actually takes maintenance and everything like that. So the contrast between their fantasy and reality is so abrupt to them. And this is what kind of plays into that mood-based love. And it's like, oh, this isn't as easy or as flawless as I thought it was going to be. And of course, they'll try to turn it around on you and make it seem as though you aren't living up to what you seemed. But again, that's their delusion, not yours. And of course, they did a good job presenting themselves in a certain way.
Yes.
Where you thought, yeah, that was a shiny vehicle. But you're willing to do the work to maintain the value and encourage and support the value, like you're talking about, of people who are taking care of themselves and doing what they can do, you know, as those that are in relationship with the narcissist and actually care about the narcissist and the relationship. We do encourage them to take care of themselves. We do everything in our power to make sure that they, that it's as easy as possible for them. So then again, that's back to mood-based love, because how they feel about it, the mood that comes with it is what shapes their perception of value.
Yeah.
That's a really good word to put around that, is their perception of value.
Yeah.
Also to help sort of take away the personal feeling attached to that.
Yeah, because the car could still be worth $40,000, but they only perceive it to being worth $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
perception versus reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of these individuals will actually go out on a shopping spree. And I don't know if you've seen this before, but they'll go out on a shopping spree and they'll buy a bunch of stuff and they'll feel great about it, put it at home in their closet and never actually end up wearing it.
Yeah.
Or they'll take the picture for social media and post it and get all the adulation or whatever attention off of it, and then they'll never touch it again. It's just such a consumeristic way of doing life.
Yeah, it feels a little desperate because it's just this external grab all the time for proof of their own value and worth.
So, I mean,
exhausting.
I think it would be exhausting. Mm-hmm. And of course, we can have compassion for that.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're saying, how do you sustain a relationship with somebody that's constantly needing that external confirmation? That's a lot of pressure on you in relation to it.
Yeah.
I think the financial piece of this is actually really important as well, because if it's, for instance, a male who's the narcissist who is, you know, more traditionally in charge maybe of like family or relationship finances, this is where, you know, the partner could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's a scary place to end up.
Yeah.
Going back to your question earlier, how does somebody deal with this?
Yeah.
Again, that idea of, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. When you have the mindset that every something becomes nothing for these individuals, like you were talking about, that allows you to depersonalize it to some degree. You can start to recognize that you're just being depersonalized because this is this person's pattern. And it doesn't matter what you do or do not do, that pattern is going to persevere regardless of their pattern of devaluing, their pattern of that something that was everything turns into nothing. As usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.